All right, I was. You are now.
I'm hosting the lobby. We're recording. Everything's live now.
I really like this suit. I really like it over Skype.
Oh, definitely.
It seems like a lot better, yeah. Skype just seems a bit childish, isn't it?
Skype's a bit fucking all over the place.
Yeah, I like how whoever's talking ends up on the screen, so you know talking, so you know when to like, almost not butt in. Because, like, with my sound, for some reason, I have, like, a delay, so I end up talking over people.
No, I think it was your signal was really poor. It's good now, so I think you'd be all right.
Yeah. It comes up, doesn't it? Like a little yellow thing around your name when you're speaking. It's brilliant. Awesome. Well,
it's the Zoom as well. I swear, the Zoom, the connection is so much better than Skype.
Yeah, I think so. Skype's dodgydeals.com. All right, anyway, welcome to the Mass Discussion Podcast. We are here with our natty guest. Introduce yourself, Jack. How are you doing?
Who's up?
Let them know if they don't know who you are. I mean, they're I don't know where they've been on, but...
Who doesn't know
that Thorburn is? So, Dan, I didn't know that. I went on your Instagram earlier. You only have 1,000 followers. I'm determined to get you up. That's awful. How have you got 1,000 followers?
I have 1,500.
Like, without bigging you up, your content is great, so I don't get it.
I reckon Dan will blow up.
You should do. So.
The thing is, though, like, he's big as well. And like anyone who's of your size, of your age, what we're looking at, Ryan Crawley's probably a bit bigger, but he's 6'2", so I'd probably put him down to the same weight to height ratio, about the same. Brad Willis, he's a big guy, and he's 6'2". He's big, tall. So, and they've got big profiles, but you wait, it'll happen, Dan.
In other words, Dan, the Redcon sponsorship is coming.
Yeah, mate.
It's coming.
I somewhat don't think I fit the bill for Redcon.
You do. You're pretty hardcore.
I tell you what, me and
Al... Too hardcore.
We were talking about this just yesterday. Like, we were talking about who we'd want to be sponsored right now in terms of where we're at in our careers right now in bodybuilding. Then almost the stepping stones of where we'd like to end up.
Right.
So, for example, James, he started, was it Insight Subs?
James who?
Yeah, Hollingshead.
No, A-List.
A-List. A-List. Yeah. Then he went to Caged. Then he went trained by JP. Then he went Redcon Run. It's like a stepping stone each
year. Yeah.
And like in terms of my career, like right now, of you guys' career, you've both got supplement sponsors, to be fair. Like you're with A-List, aren't you?
Insight,
that's right. Yeah. I think I said, like, for myself, a team like Insight, man, I'd love to be a part of that because not only you're not locked down to one brand.
That's why it's so good, yeah. Because you're not stuck with one brand. That's why I love doing it, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And you're a supplement whore. So you're
exactly. But I think I am because of them. Before I started with them, I wasn't half as bad as I am. But yeah, I think it's because I have so much at my disposal. And like just to try and stuff, so yeah.
So, and I tell you what, that's valuable for companies. That I'm not saying like you're gonna leave A-List. You have A-List
Insight.
So I get confused. They both did the same thing. They do.
They're very similar. They're very similar in what they do. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying you're gonna leave, but if you do ever leave in the future and you go up to another company, I mean. They're going to know that you haven't been stuck with one brand, just pushing one brand for no reason. You've had everything at your disposal and you've handpicked and promoted what you actually like and use.
Yeah.
And I think your followers appreciate the honesty that you have. Yeah. I don't see you push anything that you don't actually use.
That was the one thing when I signed with them 2 years ago, because I took a big risk with them because they were a nothing company at the time. Like literally... sub 500 followers kind of thing, working out of a juice bar. And they had three brands at the time. So they had Anth Bales, so Max Muscle. They had Run Everything Labs, which is Darlin Bailey's company, and very early doors Redcon, very early doors. I think they only had about four products at a time. And I thought, like, am I going to be able to sign with this lot? Because I'm not going to be willing to promote things I'm not taking. So do they have enough products that I can happily sort of promote or everything that I'm taking from them? I didn't want to be taking all this other stuff and not showing it because I'm with them. Mm. But then it came out clutch, really, because they ended up blowing up to be probably the biggest company in the UK now, supplement-wise. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. That was one of the things when, for me, because I'm not with Prozis anymore, but that was one of the things why they dropped me, because I said I didn't want to use a pre-workout. I told you, Jack. I said your pre-workout's under dose. I said, one, I did a degree where I looked at ergogenic aids and looked at clinical dosages, so I looked like a knob there. Plus, everyone talks about it now. I said, even my missus knows. I didn't say it like this horrible. I said, you need to start, you know, your other ranges of protein, they're good. But this is the range that's taken over. Anyway, next.
I don't think you don't suit that brand at all.
Absolutely not. And that's what I said. You know, that's what I thought. I just thought.
A bodybuilder who wants to be the biggest they can possibly be does not suit a company that sponsors
fucking
half the bikini competitors in the UK.
Exactly. I mean, the thing is, the guy who was in charge of it all, I don't know what, he just approached me, but he said he found me funny and he liked me and I got on. And then the new guy took over and it was like, I said all this stuff. And then within about a month, it was like, yeah, see you later, mate. And I was just like, fair enough. And I was actually happy because I was like, now I can go on. And I go on Insight and I buy, you know what, I want to try new proteins. I want to try new stuff. I know it looks good. Jack says this is good. He says it's good. Like, wicked. Use your discount. Get myself my products. 10% that I'm decent. And then I can, you know what, I'm going to do a review on my review on how I feel this product goes down. And I'll put it on my YouTube for anyone else to find out. So if they go, oh, do I want this protein? Oh, actually, I'll look what he says. There's something there, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And also, it's quite nice to try all these different flavours and shit. It's fucking awesome.
I think what a lot of people know about myself, we're talking about how we all talk very honestly about supplements. And I know this is the same for you. You won't bullshit your followers because it's more important. You know what you have works for you because you're more passionate about your bodybuilding than you are about your followership.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You are right. So I'm not going to use something that doesn't work because I want to maximize it myself. So I'm not, yeah, so I know what you mean. So bodybuilding means my personal journey and improvement outweighs my desire to please people on social media or promote something on social media. Yeah, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you'd think that because of that, you wouldn't have as many followers, but that actually works in your favor. Because
of the honesty thing, yeah.
Appreciate the honesty. Like, with myself, like, there are certain brands I absolutely love in the UK, but the products across the whole brand don't necessarily mean I like them all. I mean, there are certain companies in the UK right now that are kind of, we know they're the gold standard. You get your A-list, your Insight, your Strong, your Supplement Needs, you're trained by JP. And Redcon One in this country as well is very good. Yeah. And a few others, obviously. But like, trained by JP, man, what a fucking brand that is. Everything is great. And I'm not saying like their pre-workout his workout isn't bad, the original repair. I think it's a good pre-workout, but it's one that I cannot personally promote, especially in my off-season, because when my digestion is already a little bit, you know, I have to be so meticulous in the off-season, because food is high, my weight and everything, you know, everything, all the factors combined, I just can't use prepare in the off-season. It blunts my appetite, I can't eat, and I'll be honest, I'll be running to the toilet more times than I do sets when I'm training. Yeah. And that's that, and that's just a pre-workout I can't use. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's a shit pre-workout. Just for me. And I know that dog end of a prep, when I'm probably a little bit more hungry and my digestion is so good because inflammation's low, I can use a pre-workout. That's my honest review of it. And I don't think it tastes very nice either. But, you know, everyone knows I love Trained by JP brand. And a lot of people would assume I'm very biased about it. But there you go. There's an example. I love Trained by JP. The clothing, the supplements, everything about it. But I don't like pre-workout.
Yeah.
I haven't used pump formula. You just bought that out. I'd be interested to see what that's like, because it's got the glycosides in it, and it's all clinical dosage, citrulline and everything else.
I think that with those products, though, like the companies you mentioned, there's always, because they come from that same sort of thing, they have an alternative, the pump product, the stuff. You know, I mean, for me, especially, like, I can't use Stimimax Black Edition because I fucking can't eat after it.
I
get angry at myself. I'm like, I can't fucking eat my food. Like, what the fuck's going on? Like, what the fuck happened? But then they have the pump, like the Vascomax, or they have this one that isn't too stim crazy. Yeah. And I seem to, you know, I use normal Stimimax or just Stimimax Pro. I'm fine. Mm. You know what I mean? I don't really go for two Stimmy products because of that reason. But those companies you mentioned, there is that alternative. Same with Redcon, there's an alternative. Do you know what I mean? For the people, because the people using them who are promoting their products, though, are those people who would say it how it is. Do you know what I mean? Or yes. Also have experienced that. Have I gone, oh, this is way too fucking, do you know what I mean? Oh, fucking, oh, I've got more anxiety than I am fucking concentrating. Or
I recently bought a tub of Atomic Bomb, which I'd actually used before, so I think he's redesigned the panel a little bit. Either that or he's painted it a couple of more ingredients than were just standard before. And Pump Action. So the Pump Action was really, really good. The Atomic Bomb, for some reason now, I'm having the same issue. I cannot eat. I cannot eat at all. Even if post-workout, my blood sugar, I felt low and I was sweating, but I could not eat. It's down to fucking 2.7. I could not fucking eat.
Yeah, it must be a stimulant thing.
I mean, and then last night, I had a moment where, this was obviously near post-workout, I still have no appetite, my last meal, and I'm looking in the fridge, like, I knew my last meal was literally just 3 whole eggs, and 40 grams of protein from whey, 60 grams of almond butter. You think, put the protein in a bowl and the almond butter together, and that should go down like nothing.
Yeah.
Just 3 whole eggs. Tell you what, just the thought of it made me want to hurt. It's not a lot of food at all. And then I was looking in the fridge thinking, I can't eat that. Is there something in the fridge I can just fucking eat? I was literally, I don't know what to fucking do. I'm not used to this. Like, and I knew it's not because I'm pushing food at all, because I'm not actually a high food yet. It's just a pre-workout. And I think you've got to be smart with your, especially your stimulant. Your caffeine content in your off-season. So your pre-workout choice is going to change. But not just your caffeine, but your stimulant. A lot of these pre-workouts, they can have the same ingredients, but it's the ratio of how the ingredients are put together that makes the pre-workout.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people realise that. They see 200 milligrams of caffeine. They see, I don't know, 200, I think it's MCG, or it might be milligrams, of tearcream. It's not the having ingredients there.
Individual, it's the combination, yeah.
It's always a ratio of dosages that has the effect on the body. So, but that was my experience last night. And then, funny enough, I made the meal like it was meant to be, and I can have one taste. All of a sudden, my appetite just kicked in. And I was ready. I was lucky. I was lucky. I was literally. I was going to be sick. Cutting it up. Oh, this is actually good. I'm ready.
What about you, Jack? You pushed your food pretty hard last year. What about you? Were you still? Because obviously, you use a lot of pre-workouts. Have you ever had that problem?
Not massively. Whether that's because I've used a fair few stims before. Like my pre-workout usage is pretty, even though I still get great effects from it, which is surprising. I use like pre-workouts near enough year round. Granted, I never sort of use the same one all the time. So potentially because I use different ones, they don't get stale. But no, I never really have, whether that's because because obviously I train for quite a long period of time, and also sometimes I have a bit of a journey to the gym and stuff like that. So maybe because of the length of time in between taking the pre-workout and the meal, maybe it doesn't affect me as much. But no, I've never really had, the only time it ever sort of affects me is if it's quite early in the morning. I don't really have an appetite for my post-workout then. But the rest of the time, no, it's never really an issue. Even though my food has never been massively high, I've never really had any digestive issues, even when pushing food high. Whether that's because, obviously, with the natural status, I haven't got anything like that's going to contribute to any lack of that interferes there, potentially. But then again, I know plenty of naturals that complain about not having an appetite. So I think it does help that I am quite a foodie and I love food in general. I think that does help me a lot in the fact that I just love food. And always, like, I take time in preparing my food, and, you know, like you do yourself, Dan. You know, you like to make your food taste nice and stuff. So I think that all helps massively.
You tell you what, I'm very blessed with the ability to be able to eat a lot of food. And I've heard this from multiple guys before. It's a genetic trait.
Yeah.
If you can eat a lot of food. And I can. And I tell you what, if I didn't have that genetic trait, I would have never have turned to using PEDs, because I know that I just wouldn't be able to get very far.
No.
Because food is your most anabolic tool. And if you can't use it, why are you using other things?
Yeah.
Stay natural. That's just.
I think all three of us here are foodies. I never had a problem. Even when we did push food, I was like, yeah, I think I could still eat, Jordan. And, you know, he'd give me some more carbs, and then we got fat. I was like, fuck's sake, you're one of those guys.
Where did you get up to calorie wise?
I think it was just over 5,000.
See, yeah, I'm
5,500. It's like about 5,600 at the most.
I'm just under that now. I'm probably about 5,300 right now, and this for me, I'm pretty hungry.
I think it's just like you said, it's a genetic thing. It's like you can just, and I think, I don't know, after eating, like, I don't know, you just I don't know, it's quite easy. I don't know, like, for me, it's not a problem, it's not an issue. Like, you do hear people say, oh, I just can't eat, and you're like, what? You know what I mean?
I've had some people are genetically just, they're different in their, you know, in that trait. And I think a lot of it comes down to metabolism as well. Are you an active person? Because I see all my active clients, they can eat.
Yeah.
They have no problem at all. It's my sedentary ones who are working in the office that have the issues, especially late at night when their last meal is 100 grams of oats and some yogurt. They're complaining that, you know, oh, I'm so full. It's probably a digestion thing as well, to be fair, because they're not very active.
Yeah.
That's where I promote them, you know, going for their 10-minute walks, like either after or maybe be a little bit active before the meal. So at least where their carbohydrates are being placed, they are active in that time. That, and obviously being kind of specific to the client in what you do with their fats, because fats are very satiating when you combine them with carbs. And obviously, I'm quite a high protein advocate as well, which protein is probably the most satiating macronutrient. If you combine all three, I mean, you could be very full on what seems like a lot of food.
Yeah.
Again, ratios.
Yeah. All right.
But then again, at the moment, there seems to be like a fad where people keep fats minimal, like to a minimum, and then push carbs crazy high. And, like, granted, carbohydrates are our main energy source, but, you know, people complain about eating all these carbs, yet their fats are at like 40 grams. And it's like, well, if you want to get some calories in, how about you have some fat? How about you have some olive oil, which isn't going to fill you whatsoever? Do you know what I mean? So, you know, And a lot of those people are the ones that are complaining. And also the ones that keep veg and fruit content massive, you know, and that's obviously going to fill you up as well, isn't it? So
what I'm really trying to do is, and what I've always actually done, to be honest, I weigh out all my veg, and I'm sure you do.
Yes, so do I.
And yeah, the reason for that is when I transition to prep, everything's a constant variable that I don't have to change.
Yeah.
So I try and keep my veg exactly the same in off season. Even when I'm up to 7,000 calories, I will keep that veg the same.
Now, yes, this is that's what I do.
Hard to do, but you can do it. So as my appetite starts to dwindle and I can only eat my 150 grams of aubergine in that meal, because aubergine is a very satiating vegetable, it's high in fiber. I will switch that aubergine for spinach. It's the same calorie content per 100 grams of spinach as it is aubergine, yet spinach, if you wilt it, it goes down to nothing.
Same
calorie content as I would in my veg. Then when I go back into a diet phase and I start getting hungry again, I can switch it out back for aubergine. It'll be no difference in my calorie intake. I'm just fuller and more satiated.
Do you mean eggplant?
Fucking hell. Fucking don't even start with this shit.
I get so many questions. Like, what is it with the aubergine? What it is, so basically, I went to Napoli. I'd never had an eggplant before. And pretty much all the meals they served out there, you had the option of their seasonal veg, which is always courgette, eggplant, and probably like peppers and onions and stuff like that. And the aubergine now, I first tried it there and I was just addicted. Yeah. I came back and it just carried on.
Have you ever had fried aubergine?
Oh, yes.
Like legit fried. Dangerous.
Dan's going to be in staple in
it. That's a way of getting your calories in.
Yeah.
Deep fried aubergine.
If I have an off-plan meal, you best believe aubergine's going on there. So the other night, I had a bolognese.
Do you have an acti fryer?
Yes.
Well, chuck them in there. See what happens.
I know. I'm gonna do that. I'm going to see how it goes. I've got different ways of cooking it. So as I say that, I had a bolognese with my mum. We had an off-plan meal. So if I do an off-plan meal, typically I'd make sure it's a family thing, you know, social, yeah, thing like that. We had a bolognese, and of course, aubergine is going on top. It's going on top. I'm not weighing it out. I'm having as many as I like. And it could probably only be about 15 grams of carbs. I'm going to be full as fuck.
Love that. So, been full as fuck eating the spaghetti spag bar. That's it.
Going back to what Jack said. You're currently, we're talking about fats and people limiting fats. But I'm in total agreement. Like, I think high carbohydrate, definitely push that first. But in combination with fats, you'll notice in the gym, your performance, everything, your strength, your fullness is so much more. People don't realize that, yes, your muscles are filled up by glycogen, but they're also intracellular triglycerides that do fill up your muscle as well.
Yeah, they make up quite a large percentage. So, yeah.
Yeah, and so when I diet, I have to go really low fat with me. Like, I hate it, but I do, and I just lose my fullness. But it's what I need to do to get in shape. Yeah, and you're currently pushing food at the minute, aren't you? You're about 209 pounds, 210?
213 this morning. So,
213?
Yeah, I'm up to nothing crazy, but about 4,300, yeah, something like that.
Remember, relative as well. Is, you know, you're so meticulous that you know you're not going to be attracted by, I just got to get to that 5,000 calorie mark to say I'm on 5,000 calories.
Yeah.
You're super on point.
Like, I'm going to see what the weight does over the next like week or so, and then potentially look to creep it up a little bit more. But I don't think I'll have to do anything right now anyway. I don't think I have to push up an awful lot more, because my weight will just carry on trickling up nicely anyway. It seems to always do about a couple of days to a week where it holds, and then it'll start to like gain a pound, and it'll do the same again. It'll just nicely trickle up. So Like my expenditure is pretty minimal at the moment as well, so that helps. I'm not really like, it's like 5,000 steps a day, so nothing really.
No, that's nothing, man. Got a lot to build on when you diet there. What are your macronutrients for that?
About 340 protein.
Yeah, that's
Of that. I think we're there. I can get you exact. Yeah, so 340 protein, 550 carb, and 70 fat. So fat's still relatively low as well, really. I think if I was going to, before long, like food increases would probably just be fats in the first two meals. Because, you know, in the other three meals, I'm making up basically 500 grams of carbs in those three meals. So
over 3 meals?
Yeah, basically, because I have 5 meals a day at the moment. Two of them are carbless, and then the other three are with carbs, yeah? So pre, post, and post-post.
Would you consider adding a sixth meal?
I used to have six. I was on six for years and years, but when I mini-cutted in August, like July, August last year, during the push-up before that, I was always rushing my last meal in because I'd get back quite late from training. So I'd have my last meal at about nine. No, my fifth meal at about nine, half eight, nine. And then I had to get another meal in before bed. And they were both really big meals. One was like nearly 1,500 calories, and the next one was like 800 calories. So I just thought the easiest way to shift calories for the mini cut was to cut it out. So that's when I cut it out, and I just haven't added it back in. But at the moment, with how everything is, there's certainly scope that I could add a sixth meal in pretty easily. The only thing with me is then that meal would bump my protein content up to like 400, wouldn't it, really? Unless I make it like a small protein meal, but I don't really see the point in a meal unless it's like 40 grams of protein, really. So
yeah, something interesting about I've always agreed with you on this, so you know, I'm not trying to get you to explain yourself, but I want you to just explain to other people, especially natural bodybuilders, and I'm sure you get a lot of stick for it. You eat a lot of protein for what people say is natural bodybuilder, because you've got all these studies telling you that we can only, what is it, absorb 20 grams of protein.
Yeah.
I just don't agree with that. Just going by anecdotal evidence, I don't think it supports.
Are you surprised at all that all the biggest guys eat the most protein? Like, is that any? I know, you know, loads of Dante's guys who are the biggest guys walking around, they're all pushing 400. You follow Sean Smith?
Yes.
Have you seen his protein intake?
No. It's
like 600. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, like, obviously people are going to say, well, these people enhance, they got better uptake, protein synthesis, and they can absorb more. But yeah, okay, to an extent, that's true. But physiology of the human body doesn't change. And I don't know, I just see people with low protein portions not only struggle from satiety point of view, especially when they diet, it's not big.
Yeah.
But I just think, why would you want to limit yourself and potentially be shortchanging? I'd rather eat too much protein than not enough. And secondly, do you think that if you're not completely digesting all of that protein, do you think that just goes straight through you and wasted?
No, this is exactly what I say.
There's an amino acid pool, and it has so many more functions in your body anyway, and it's also stored, you know, loads of things go on. So
yeah, I mean, people will say, like, well, what you don't use, what's going to happen to it? Well, I'd rather overeat protein just to cover my bases to make sure. Well, exactly. Okay, it's not getting all used, but at least whatever I do eat, it will go in that amino acid pool. A lot of it's going to be converted into glycogen anyway. It's not wasted.
No. People don't realize it's never wasted.
Protein can be converted into glycogen.
Yeah.
No? Cool. I'm glad you explained that because that's something that
that's from an off-season standpoint. From a diet perspective, I have never in my life complained about being hungry. And that's coming from someone that gets pretty lean. So explain to me how I've got to that level of conditioning without complaining about being hungry once. I'm not some magic outliner, you know. It's probably because I'm nailing protein.
You haven't got the drugs to blunt your appetite.
No, exactly.
I think part of that satiety as well is when you're dieting, you're so tunnel visioned, you almost block it out.
Yeah.
It's odd. I've always said it. I don't really get hungry during prep. I suffer from a lot of anxiety, and I think that blocks my appetite.
Right. Yeah. I think that probably helped me a lot in 2017. I had a few injury issues on the go, and I was so concerned and worried about those that it consumed me, and I don't think I worried about the hunger at all. So that probably, same with you, Dan, the anxiety probably just like blunted any sort of feeling of hunger.
I just wanted to
compete, just wanted to get on there, like, do you know what I mean? More driven than anything. But then once it was all said and done, that's when I got hungry. Like, once it was you're off the stage, and the worst thing is, Dan, you'll know this, as soon as you take those fucking drugs out, right, your fucking appetite comes out of nowhere. It's like a roaring tiger. One minute it's just sat there, then it's like, what the fuck? And when it's your first time, you're a little bit like, what's going on? And then obviously you've got people around you, if you do, like I did, yeah, that's going to happen. Mate. Oh, okay, wicked.
Well, that's what's happening right now with us, because we're actually finishing my prep cycle now, because I was still meant to be in prep right now. My comp was meant to be, I think, tomorrow
isn't it?
And then Worlds 3 weeks later. And we're finishing off the cycle as if we were going to do it, but we're doing it in a surplus instead. And then people say, bloody hell, you're blowing up. Yeah, because a combination of being in a surplus and progressing lifts and drugs. Yeah, of course. But you just wait until I come off all that and we can really push food. Then people are going like, you didn't come off cycle. No, I don't lose anything when I come off cycle. I can push food and my appetite is insane. Your most anabolic tool is your food. I say it all the time. It's interesting. I see a lot of, it's more in a lot of successful guys I see who are very meticulous and very, just care more, I think, who just don't seem to suffer the appetite. I don't know what it is. I think it's the tunnel vision.
I just don't care.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I've got a goal in mind, and it's to get inside out peeled. So, you know, I'm not going to die. So why does it matter, you know? But
I just think, look, the thing is, for some people, like, I can't see how some people will cheat on their diet. Like,
if I did that, I couldn't, like, show my face.
Yeah, but it's...
If I ever, like, disappear off social media... You'll know it's because I've done.
It's because, but I'm saying, like, you've got to get on stage in your pants, right? If you have a so big social media following, there's going to be people there watching you, right? And you know, there's probably more pressure on you to come up in shape, right? Especially if you're going for that pro card level in those two bro shows. Well, what the fuck are you doing? If you like, why would you cheat on your diet? Because you know that. That's your excuse that you got beaten. Like, you're giving yourself an excuse. You're building up a smoke screen. Why the fuck would you do that?
If I cheated on my diet whilst I was dieting for a show...
You would do the show?
I would pull out the show. Knowing that I didn't put everything into it, that I did something wrong, that my head, that's it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Like that later, it just means I cannot stay in that tunnel vision knowing something went wrong.
It's not a fucking maths test. You can't just fucking rub out the answer and do it again. Do you know what I mean? It's physical. I can't understand that. But I think if you want to compete, you need to ask you that question. You know, if you cheat on your diet, what you said, Dan? Do you know what I mean? And if your answer is, I wouldn't, and if I did, I would pull out the show. You probably built to do this because you probably wouldn't, you wouldn't cheat because you're not giving yourself an excuse. Do you know what I mean?
Off season's different. We're all smart enough here to be able to replace macros have a meal out, and we're smart enough with food choices to switch ingredients to get the same output as you would usually and enjoy it. But when it comes to prep, no, it's not acceptable in my opinion. Because once you've done that, the switch is off.
All right, Jack, we need to say about what we're going to ask about you. So we just talked a lot of shit.
Yeah.
To get to know your background. If you want to do a quick summary of just your background for people who don't know who you are, they haven't gone on the phone and checked your Instagram out.
Literally, how you got into bodybuilding, real quick, because you actually had a really good physique before you even started lifting weights. And then your competitive history and what you're going to be doing next.
Okay, so got into bodybuilding when I went away for sixth form. I went to a boarding school for sixth form in the middle of nowhere in West Wales in a college called Llandovery College. I went on like a rugby scholarship and the whole of the squad were pretty big. So I went there in decently, like a reasonable shape, but I knew I had to get pretty big to sort of roll with the big boys. So basically just got introduced to a gym atmosphere down there. It was an absolute dungeon. We were there every morning just smashing, and there was nothing else to do. It is in the middle of nowhere, so all you had to do was play rugby, train, and go to your lessons, and that was it. So,
whereabouts in Wales are you actually from, and where do you live
now? I'm from Swansea, which is south...
Near Port Talbot.
Southwest-ish.
Near Port Talbot.
Yeah, it's funny how you know where Port Talbot is.
Yeah, because I went there, didn't I? I went on a field trip.
Oh, yeah.
And I was asking you at the time, mate, where do I train? So I trained I trained at Richie O'Donnell's gym. I trained at K2. And then this was all at night time. My lecturer said, yeah, you can go off and train. So I drove there myself to make sure I could go off and do my training and whatnot, go shopping. And then when all those gyms were shut, because it was late at night, I actually went into Swansea City Centre and I used a Pure gym there. And
was it a Pure gym or was it the gym?
Oh, no, it was the gym. It was like on a corner.
Yeah, I used to work there, see?
Yeah, it was the gym. Yeah, you're right. And that was right in the centre.
That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it must have been second year uni for me.
I remember you asking me that. Yeah, it was ages ago. Yeah. So basically we were just, nothing else to do, just to train. The prop at the time for the college was a bodybuilder, competitive bodybuilder. He saw a bit of potential in me, saw that I was pretty driven in training and stuff, so I became his training partner, and he would put me through bodybuilding workouts every day, basically. First session with him was a leg session. I can remember we did like triple drop sets, every set of squats, then straight into leg press, and I can just remember looking down at my legs and they were literally shaking like that, and then I was hooked then. So I was training more like a bodybuilder whilst playing rugby throughout college. Then went to university, and I was getting injured quite regularly. And then I started to enjoy the training quite a bit more than playing. So then I just sacked the rugby off and just went into like full bodybuilding training then. Still didn't compete for another, I think it was 3 years after that, 2-3 years. But I didn't compete until I was 23 was the first time I competed. And then since then, I've done 2 competitive seasons, competed in 7 shows, done reasonably well in those 7 shows. I won 4 of them, went to 2 British finals. So that's, and then I've had, since then, I've had, what is it? We're 2020 now. I haven't competed since 17. So I've had a 3-year off season. So, which is unheard of these days, but it was more just to sort of like get injuries sorted and stuff like that. So, but now, hopefully looking to, I'm very glad I didn't decide to prep for this year because that would have been a nightmare. But yeah, looking to compete now in 2021, hopefully.
Awesome. That's fucking awesome. Yeah, like to be fair, what you said though, three year long off season. I mean, you're going to be dramatically different when you next time get on the stage, aren't you?
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily, let's take 3 years off because I need to put certain, like, to build on that. It was more, I had a lot of injury issues. And I wasn't happy I couldn't make progress with the injuries. So I knew I had to get them sorted. I potentially looked at competing this year, but I still think I have areas that I need to bring back up, because I'm not going to, you know, granted I could compete at a show and depending on if no one incredible turns up, I could do well in it. But I'm not looking just to snag an easy qualifier. Like, I'm looking to be better than I was last time, you know. So for me, the next step is to win a British title. So that is the ultimate goal moving forward. So,
what federations do you compete with, Jack? I know BMBF.
I've only done BMBF, really. I did PCA, my first ever show.
Oh.
First ever show, I did PCA Welsh in the classic bodybuilder class. I was the leanest person in the show, though. But I came fourth in that. But I looked all right as well, but I was doing keto. So I was doing keto and a natural in a PCA show. So you can imagine I looked a bit like Mo Farah up there. But and then the week after that, I did the NABBA Welsh. And I won the junior class there. But I was very lucky because the two other lads I was competing against were both natural as well. So, yes, but I'll take that. NABBA junior champion. So it's just been BMBF. In the future, I'll hopefully do the UK DFBA as well because I really like that federation as well. Obviously, Dan, I've seen you at a couple of the shows as well.
Yeah.
You think they run quite well as well, don't you? So.
Yeah, to be fair. And the conditions are quite good for competitors.
Yeah, competitors are really good there as well. So I hopefully do the BMBF and UK DFBA because, like, in 2017, I was a bit gutted I didn't do a bit more. At the time, I wasn't in the right headspace. I was just so worried about the injuries. I just wanted the season to be over. But looking back now, I probably should have done a few more federations as well. So
nice.
How did you do in your last show?
Well, the last show was the BMBF British Finals in 2017. And it was my first year as a senior. And I came fourth at finals. I was meant to be a middleweight, but the day before, for some reason, everyone else had a like midday weigh-in. But because I was coming from a bit further than most, I got given an evening weigh-in, and I was, because of how depleted I was pushing carbs quite high. So I was on like 800 carb plus like 13 liters of water. So I had all that in me, and then I weighed in at like 4, I think I was like 10 pounds heavier than I was in the morning. So I got bumped. Sorry, Dan, say again.
You're actually the same weight class as Dan Park.
No, because, well, I might be now. I don't know. Well, I got bumped up from middleweight to heavyweight, see? So because of that 10 pound, I got put in the heavyweight. But it's different because in UK DFBA, they have set weight categories, okay? Whereas in BMBF, at finals, they take everyone that's qualified and they basically divide them into three. So they get everyone that's qualified and they get everyone's weight and they just line them up and say, right, split. So lightweight, middleweight, heavyweight. So I just happened to be right at the top of middles and then got bumped up the heavies, which was a bit shit, really, because it was my first year as a senior. And then I got chucked in with the big boys. But, you know, I felt I did really well with it. And it was just pretty positive moving forward now. So it'll be very interesting to see where I fall next time I diet down now. So,
yeah.
Fucking hell. Anyway, we'll move on questions.
Putting those question boxes on Instagram is completely pointless these days because all the questions are off those bots and they're so annoying.
Oh, fucking hell.
What was the most interesting thing of your week?
Well, like, some people will just...
answer them. What are you doing?
You'll have a question and you'll have someone saying, hi.
Or just like an emoji.
Yeah. But like, you go on their profile and it's like an actual profile of someone. And you're like...
No. But see, last week I put a question box and this girl must have fired a good 20 questions over at me. I went on her profile. She's a real person, quite fit as well, actually. And I messaged her back and I was like, what the fuck? What are you doing? And I was like, why are you pestering me? You don't even follow me. Shut up. And she was like, oh, it's happened to you as well. I think I've got a virus. So a virus has got on her Instagram or some bot and it's just firing questions out on people's weird. So.
Oh, well, because I get that. Like, I'll do a quick Q&A on a Sunday and I'll have some good questions and then I'll have something be like, hi, Ginger Training, like a little like smiley face. And I look on their profile and I'm like, who the fuck's this? I click on it, I'm like, well, what type of fucking question? Click on it and it's like, just some random bird's profile. I go, hey, you should have a look at this. And then I think I did it and it was the same person. I just thought, what the fuck is this? Like, why are you pestering me? Get out. Get out of the question box.
I think there is something to be said about like viruses and stuff. But it makes me wonder, am I pissing anyone off? Like, have I got one on mine and it's firing these stupid questions over to other people and stuff? I don't know.
True emoji. But... let me see. Yeah, fuck. All right, do you want to move on to questions and we talk about them, Dan?
I was going to say, can we quickly do some product reviews?
Oh, please. Yeah, product review.
Jack is always trying something new. Is there anything he'd like to review?
It's annoying because I've had two new products sent to me yesterday, but I didn't try them today because I wanted to save it and try them tomorrow. You're aware that Insight Supplements, the owner of Insight Supplements, Danny, they've got a sister company, Foresight Nutrition. Foresight Nutrition's their sister company. They've just brought out, am I allowed to say this?
Don't know.
They brought out an all round health supplement.
Okay.
Everyone knows about that now. But they've also brought out an intra-workout carbohydrate. And it looks really good. So I'm very keen to try it. I haven't checked the panel out on the one I've been sent. I believe that it's quite similar to Carbomax. But it's got a few additional things in, I think. So I need to try that. The only problem is the flavour they've sent me doesn't complement my like Pepto Pro and EAAs and stuff, so I don't know whether I'm gonna have to have like a separate shaker for my carb powder. I don't know.
Mix them up, mate. Hulk powder. Hulk drink.
But then I think, if I was to review a product, what I'll go for is the Perform Whey. Okay. In blueberry muffin.
All right.
Okay, so I've had their whey, the flavour selection they have, because Dan, I told you about them, didn't I?
Not the Perform.
The Perform stuff, did I mention that? No. So they have an insane selection of flavours. At the moment, I've only tried the blueberry muffin and the cinnamon donut.
I've got the cinnamon donut one.
Have you had it yet?
I haven't had it yet, no.
Okay, because I have a feeling that all their ways, as a shake or as like a paste or a sludge, they're incredible. However, when I cook my oats, I cook the protein in it. So halfway through, I add the protein powder in and carry on cooking it. And I think a bit of the flavor is lost when I'm cooking it. But the blueberry muffin, when it doesn't lose its taste. So that one is incredible. And it tastes exactly like you'd expect it to. It tastes of a blueberry muffin. So if you closed your eyes when you're eating your oats, you might as well be eating a blueberry muffin. So,
took some blueberries.
I don't know what the rest of the... I've got a chocolate as well, so I need to try that. You need to try the cinnamon donut just as a paste on its own.
Send me a link. Send me a link on Instagram or WhatsApp.
Of the protein, yeah?
Yeah.
It's not an isolate, it's just a whey, yeah?
I think so. But that's blend,
you want that, don't you?
The blend between concentrate and ice and isolate.
Yeah, I think it's a blend, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if that'll wreak havoc on your digestion, Dan.
We'll try it.
You're gonna try it. Yeah.
Most products come out as blends at the moment now, anyway. I don't think.
Have you tried any Redcon's ways?
Yeah, isotope.
I've got isotope. I've got it. I haven't tried it yet.
What flavour do you get?
Chocolate.
I've tried the vanilla. The vanilla is really nice.
Is it? The packaging was just is next level. Even the little plastic bits, fucking camo. I'm like, I can't open this. This is awesome.
You're like a child. Ooh, sparkly.
Ooh. I am. But the thing is, though, that's what attracts you, doesn't it? I did graphics in GCC, and he was like, yeah, like point of sale. And I look at companies, and I'm like, you know what? I'm like a child, but I look at the panel as well. I go, yeah, that's good. They're a good company. Look at that. And then I look at it, and I just think, that's fucking awesome. Yeah. It's biblical. Like, some of the shit you get, I mean, like, Perform, their packaging ain't the best. I'm not going to lie to them. It's a big white tub, right? It's not the best. But, like, Redcon, the camo thing, that's probably why it costs, like, near enough the same money for 900 grams.
They've got their marketing down to a T, though, they have.
Yeah, they have, to be fair, yeah. That's true. What about you, Dan? You trying anything new?
I was trying something new, mate. Trying to think. What have I tried recently? No new whey proteins, because I've been trying to weigh up. I've been trying to use up what I've got.
Any new drugs? anything else new? We don't need to review them. Can't buy them.
No, nothing really new on that.
Coffee?
Huh?
Coffee, tea?
Nah, man, that's a problem when you're pushing food, like you're in a surplus, all that stuff is not as attractive.
Yeah.
You know?
I love my coffee, man. Oh, come on.
As I said, the pre-workout, I've said that already, I tried that. Ampel's pump action, the pump formula, really good.
Yeah.
The pump is just disgusting.
Did you try it by itself, or did you have a stim with it as well?
I've had it by itself.
Okay, and you rated it by itself, yeah?
Yeah, and I've had it with stim, and I found out I can only use it on a push day because my lower back pumps are just fucking ridiculous. Yeah, that reminds me, actually, I think Strom are bringing out a lower back pump product.
Are they?
Yeah.
Was it a hydration
formula?
Yeah.
But it's like for our back pumps.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I'll probably give that a try when it comes out. I've got a few packages in front of me, actually, that have just been...
People will buy that just to try it, so...
Yeah, the postman has just delivered some packages for me, and my mum's just put them in front of me, so I might open them, see what we got.
Oh, a live opening!
Did you see what... Oh, here we go. Did you see what...
You'll be in trouble if it's Kia.
Yeah, it'd be well funny if it was.
They know. So Parsinagel, this is really good. So it's just updating my health supplements. Parsinagel, use it for kidney health. It also helps lower blood sugar. So very important for me because I say it's my Achilles heel, but I can easily be on the higher end of blood pressure and I don't even like it on the higher end. So I do a lot to keep my blood pressure in check because as you know, blood pressure is silent killer. It will affect your kidneys. And it's literally the root of so many health issues that are avoidable. Easiest thing you do is control your blood pressure. Parsinagel, I use the 100 mg tablets. I use that twice a day, AM and PM with your first meal and your second meal. I also use, I started using Systolmax again, my blood pressure, AM and PM. I like the flavor as well. Drink it, you know, it flavors my astragalus. So, you know, Josh would know astragalus tastes like arse on its own. So
rough
astragalus,
arse powder. That's what I call it, arse powder. Arse powder. I'm on my YouTube, like, yeah, I've got my arse powder. I literally made a video this morning. It'll be out tomorrow, but yeah, we've got some new arse powder come.
We've got another one here. When you eat, you don't sweat whilst you eat, but after you eat.
After,
yeah. Look at him. He's gone dark grey, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, we've got a magazine. We've got my subscription to the Beat.
Oh, no.
Who's on the front cover? We've got Arnold and William.
Oh, nice.
I need to have a little flick through. I don't know what comps they've covered in here. I was in the December.
The Corona Classic, was it? The
Corona Classic, yeah.
It is as well. Big Rammy looks insane in this one.
I thought he looked awesome. You agreed with me as well, didn't you, Dan?
Yeah, it's just people want something that's not really possible. They want Ronnie.
I think, I don't know how close you've been following the podcast that he's been doing with Nick Trigili. Have you seen any of that? Chad Nichols?
Yeah.
And like everyone says, it's an excuse, but he's saying how Rami has such a good connection with his quads that if he does like any pump work on them backstage, all detail just goes. So he said that's the reason why he looked the way he did.
Yeah. So I heard.
Moving forward, he's just not going to touch anything. So it'd be interesting to see if that affects his placings and his look at all. So. Yeah,
I believe that as well.
Yeah, I do as well. Because he can't. Why did he look absolutely peeled 3 weeks out, and then they changed nothing? They didn't mess it around with anything, and then he comes out looking like that. Like, well, I think he still looked awesome, but he just needs more detail in his quads. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Last one, not very interesting to be honest. But I've got a replacement blade for my Nutri Ninja. My blender.
Because you keep burning through them doing that pre-workout shake.
Yeah.
What blender do you use?
When you were watching, you have to give it a whack. And you were like...
use a NutriBullet if I'm blending anything up.
Oh, mate.
I used to use a hand blender, and I used to break mine all the time because I used to do what you used to do. But I used to do it with my protein shakes. I used to make them into like really thick. This was before everyone was making pastes. I used to try and make it into like a paste, but volumize it. So I'd put loads of ice in there. And I used to wreck blades doing that.
Yeah. So I use the Ninja for that, but it's the shittest thing to use for it. The best one to use is the NutriBullet shit for it. It's not very powerful. But I use my Ninja, it just does it in one. I don't even need to shake it about. And last thing, coming package, I collect I don't know if you guys are Star Wars fans.
Oh, you got the bobbleheads?
Yeah, I'm into these, what are they called? Depop or whatever they are. The one forming. So I've got Snook.
Hey, do they do a baby Yoda?
I'm sure they probably do.
I saw you've got quite a few.
I've got I've got Darkside Rey holding, it's so cool because she's holding the Darth Maul lightsaber.
Right.
Yeah, obviously the double red. Yeah. I've got obviously Darkside Kylo Ren with a helmet on. With his red saber. I've now got Snook. I've got Wicket. I've got one more. Just trying to think who it is.
How many are you looking to? Are you gonna carry on? Hundreds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It all started. Amp got me one.
Yeah.
It went from there. It all went downhill. Started going mad. But yeah, you guys, Star Wars fans or
not massively?
I'm not a huge fan. Like,
I like it, but I'm not like a fan. Like,
have you got Disney Plus?
I haven't. No,
I've not.
I don't really watch TV.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm more of a guy like I said. I don't know if you're the same, Jack. I'd rather play a bit of Xbox than watch TV.
Okay, yeah.
Because I feel like I'm actually getting something from it. Like,
I just like fucking murking cunts on COD. And I love it.
Getting on the kids' days, like.
Getting on the mic and some kids just being on it. You're like, shut up. I'll just fucking taught you a lesson. Just being a cunt.
I do recommend, though. I recommend if you ever get like someone's got a Disney Plus account and they let you use it, watch The Mandalorian.
Yeah, I heard that's good.
So good.
How much is Disney Plus?
I say £49 a year.
That's nothing.
Bad.
I might just get that tonight. Why not?
Mate, it's so good. You will not be disappointed. You get every episode that's ever been released of The Simpsons. How good is that?
Oh, mate,
I lost track of The Simpsons probably about 5 years ago. I'm catching up on all these new episodes I haven't seen before.
It's mad how much Disney owns without you knowing about it.
I didn't even know they own The Simpsons, yeah.
National Geographic, you've got all the Marvel films. Obviously, Pixar.
Yeah.
Man, it's endless on there.
Because if I got that, I wouldn't let go of the TV.
So, yeah, you'd be lost.
Yeah.
Aside from like playing Xbox, that, you into any series at the minute?
Not right now. I've never really got into series. I watched Prison Break back in the day. I used to sweat that.
That was banging.
That was
before it got crap. Like after like series 3, it was just the same thing all the time. So I sweated those three.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it all. I recently watched Tiger King. That Carol Baskin shit, that's quite funny. But actual series, though, other than watching a bit of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I don't know. Since the Corona stuff, my series watching has sort of like gone lower because where I've got like free time, I'm like, I'll play a bit of Xbox. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've just started watching Afterlife. You see that Ricky Gervais series?
Shit. Just remind me. I've been watching that. I have been watching that. Four episodes.
So good. How funny is that?
A lot of his series are funny, to be fair. Because he had one before. What was his series before when he was travelling the world? Was it when he was travelling the world?
Is it Abroad?
Yeah, with the other comedian.
Carl Pilkington.
With Pilkington, yeah. That used to be funny.
Yeah,
that's fucking quality.
But this Afterlife, man, it's so funny. In the first episode, when he's walking past the school, and that kid shouts pedo at him.
Oh, yeah, I saw the advert.
He goes, well,
I might watch that now because I saw the adverts.
He's like, you was a pedo, you'd be safe if you tell me little ginger cunt. the kid's like fucking six. So the fat ginger kid, go, pedo! What a quality programme. Do you want to watch some cues? Have we got some quick Q&A we could do?
Yeah, I've got some questions.
I didn't put my questions up because...
What I'll do, I'll get the ones that are directed at Jack specifically, then we'll go through the general ones that Jack can help out with. Right, so from 1 minute, this is his IG name, but I know Isaac Packer, you know, yep. Isaac.
Yeah.
Will Jack be stepping on any untested stages next year? In brackets, killing it.
It's a good question. I thought about it the other day. I think I'd quite like to. I'd be realistic in saying that I know I wouldn't obviously be too competitive. But ultimately, it would still serve as stage time. And it would also serve to see where you're at. Because, you know, I would potentially be in a in a lower weight category. So whether I could potentially do all right in it. But, you know, if it would then compromise me in a tested show, say if it was like a week before, I'm not really going to... I certainly wouldn't try and peak for that show if it's going to be detrimental for a show that you could potentially do well in. So if I was going to do one, it would either be quite a way away from any one that I was really targeting. And secondly, I don't think I would try and necessarily peak for it, because even though people do bash it, there is such a thing as peaking for a show.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's a good answer.
It's circumstantial, really, isn't it? Time, place.
Yeah. No, it would be interesting, though. Imagine seeing you whack on a fucking PCA stage, especially with a few of the names. It'd be funny.
If it was to be, it would probably be PCA.
So I think this is for all of us, actually. So may as well we're on the competition side of things. What are your future competition plans? So you, obviously, this year's a write-off. Yeah. Are you targeting next year?
20? I am, personally.
You are?
I think I always like doing the BMBF Welsh. I take quite a lot of pride in competing in a Welsh show. So I'll definitely do that one. Then look at a BMBF, a UKDFBA show, probably. Whether that's, I try and do one as close to that Welsh show as possible, or then whether I put all my eggs in one basket and wait till the last show of the year with the UK DFBA, which will let me sort of have a nice period between the two. The only problem is I say that as if I'd take a break, but I've never really, if I'm like in a comp prep, I stay in the prep, which is why my last year I competed, I dieted for like 36 weeks. Like, granted, by the end of it, I was increasing food, but I was still dieting. I still felt like crap. I didn't have any, like, I didn't have like 6 weeks where I was at maintenance or in a surplus, for example. So definitely BMBF Welsh, and then depending on whether I compete at the start of the year or the end of the year with the UK DFBA, ultimately the goal is to then go to finals and hopefully do well at the finals in both then. So
obviously natural bodybuilding.
Yeah.
I almost want to say you can get away with doing a like, say if you got the finals in the September, doing your qualifier in the July. Can you get away with that quite easily, or is it like a little bit, you know, a bit of a gap and you've already almost hit condition?
Because obviously with us, we're not pushing things that we can't stay on So obviously you can't stay on things for that length of time. So what I've always felt personally is I just continue to get better. So I'll compete in the July, think I'm the best I can be shredded, but in 2 months' time, I'm even better again because, like, you can be a ridiculous body fat, but the skin isn't used to that body fat yet. So the longer you stay at that set point, the skin, like, people will probably say this is like bodybuilding.
No.
What's the term? Like bullshit. But you can't. The skin does get shrink wrapped, and it slowly starts to wrap around more and more. So
I want to give you a round of applause because I've been fucking saying this. Like, okay, between when you get first time you get shredded, the whole reason you might get to the same body fat every time, the whole reason that first time isn't as good as the next time is because it's your skin. Always your skin. And well, if you can maintain a leaner body mass from that point onwards, it's almost like your off seasons, you can be the same body fat percentage, but you just don't look like it. You look leaner.
And it's why people that have a history of like obesity or being really overweight, even if they then compete, that they don't look the same because they have looser skin. It's not, it doesn't look as appealing. Like, they may look like they're not in condition, even if they are, just because of the way their skin is. So the longer you can sit at that lower body fat, the more the skin gets accustomed to it. Because it's just obvious, really, if you think about it. If you've lost all this fat, the skin doesn't naturally, all of a sudden, just wrap around tighter. So it takes time. So the longer I feel like the longer I sit at that body weight, sort of better I get then. Even if I would continually look better and better each morning, and weight would stay exactly the same. So why would that be? You know. So.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know after my first comp in September that I just didn't appear. Oh, my weight was going up, but I didn't appear to in the off season. I got pretty fucking heavy, and I just didn't look fat. I don't know if body fat distribution changed because of the comp. Or my skin is just tighter all the time. And I think from now on, as long as I keep, you know, keeping myself in check every now and then, do a mini cut just to, you know, get back down and come back up again, I don't think I'm ever going to really be fat again. I don't think I will.
I definitely believe once you create significant amount of muscle mass, it's definitely harder to get fat. As such, just because the sheer amount of muscle that you've got to fuel your body, the needs are there, you know?
But then it's interesting, for a lot of guys, that doesn't mean it's easier to get peeled.
Yeah.
Because even so, I can be lean, like 250, on so much food. Now, I've got to drop so much food just to get down to 240. You know, it's... And it's like the condition didn't really change from 250 to 240 exactly because, well, fair enough, you deflate. And when you're 250, you're pushing food. So the volume and the muscle is pushing up against the skin so you look cleaner. But I don't know where I'm going with this, to be honest. But it's just interesting that, like, I think Luke Sanders, people say he has a problem. But it's just a case of... The bigger you are, the harder it is to almost, it's the harder to peak for sure. It's harder to land that plane. It's a bigger plane. But it's, you've got so much muscle mass, your body doesn't mind giving it up.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if you've got less.
It wants to hold on, yeah.
Resilient to, no, we can't, we're already fucking malnourished.
Yeah.
Can't let go of this. If you got a surplus of it, it goes, yeah, fuck it, we'll keep the fat and...
You know, the ways you explain things, though. You're already malnourished.
It's a good way of looking at it, though.
Yeah, no, the thing is, I mean, the podcast you said something yesterday, the same thing. It was like, you know when you have that retarded strength, I just thought, for fuck's sake.
What the fuck? Some of these analogies are crazy.
Oh, no. You got any? Dad, did you get any questions you're about to bring up?
I need to ask you. What's your feed?
Yeah, you two need to say your competitive plans now.
So it totally depends on obviously what goes on with this big push. I'm going to push up now, and then we'll see from next year if I'm ready to compete at, you know, go for the next time I compete. I want to try and win a show, you know. I want to try and win the fucking show, win my category at least, you know what I mean. So when I'm ready for that, I think next year, it will totally depend on where I'm at in January. But I always said to Jordan from 2018 that 2021 is what we're looking for. So if I compete next year, I compete next year. But it will totally depend on when I'm ready, you know. And have I built a significant amount of muscle mass where we both think, you know what, it's time to fucking go. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, some people might say like, oh yeah, you should just compete anyway because you would just never compete. No, I know I will compete. But I just need to make sure that I can't call it now. Right now, I can't say, right, next September. Because I might look like a bag of dicks in January still. You know? But ideally, yes, next year would be good. I mean, between, obviously, with this whole corona stuff, etc., gets a few things sorted out. I want to move into a house, etc. So I want that sorted before I compete. Before I compete again, I don't want to be moving house and trying to get pilled at the same time.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, is it?
that's just unnecessary stress. So I want, but I think it'll be sorted by then, and hopefully we can get pilled. And you know, I'm not here to fuck about. I don't want to just be a number. I want to fucking, what the fuck is that kind of thing? You know, just come out and bring some. That kid's got some potential shit. That's a fucking good physique. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like you don't want to just take part, basically.
No, I mean, the thing is, this year, like, very similar to like what I view you, Dan. Like this year, you would be a junior. You were still a junior. You're going to compete as a junior this year. It would have been one of those like, all right, here comes a junior. Some kids would have been like, they could be 19 getting on that stage, and they're with you, fucking who is 250 in their off season at 5 foot. 10 on a good day, you know, getting in there, fucking, you're fucking, look at that, what the, do you know what I mean?
I'm usually like very modest, like I don't really, a lot of time, don't think much of myself, because I see myself, I've got a structure that will require a lot of muscle mass to get to where I want to get to. It's just, that's a fact. And I've still got a lot of filling out to do, but the physique everyone saw in September, and to what I would have bought this year, it would have been two totally different people. I'm not saying this. I would never usually say this. I would have walked out of stage. It would have been lights out.
Yeah, I think, Dan, I think most people know that. Like they've seen how you look now, and they know that would have been the end product. So.
I'll put my on it. Like, I feel very blessed that I've done this transformation since September. I don't know how the fuck, why my body reacted like it did, but it did.
Yeah.
Now, what the depressing part about it was, when the shows got cancelled, I didn't get to show that off. And now it's almost like I didn't get to complete that goal, and I was very close to completing that goal. Now the next goal was the open class, and I feel like I'm nowhere near getting to that next.
Well, think about it. So if you're going to compete, not next year, the year after, or next year, you haven't got a long way to go to try and push yourself up to hang with some of those people. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, your standards are so high that you might be like, what the fuck are you on about? But I know, you are there.
I know the more times I take my body weight up, down again, I improve.
Yeah.
I improve when I diet. I just do. So stepping into a show next year is definitely a possibility. But even so, I might just do the same thing as I did. Get 5 weeks out, then rebound again.
Yeah, so not actually compete, yeah.
You don't need to compete. Because my goals on a timeline, they're spread out over my bodybuilding career. So my next goal is to win obviously I've missed a class. Then it's to win an overall in my Mr. Class. Then it's to win a British title. Then it's to win an IFBB Pro Card. However the duration of that comes into fruition, it might be 6 years, it might be 12 years by the end goal. I don't know. But that's in order of how it goes. How that spreads itself out, I don't know.
That's very similar to me. Like, I want, next time I want to win my class. To be honest, I want to win my overall. An overall. Next time I go to stage, I want to get there and I want to be able to, well, I want to be able to compete for that shit. But, oh, fucking, I'm going to put his names in the hat, you know? Battling out when you're doing the fucking most musculars, blasting people off stage. Do you know what I mean? Well, fucking hell, that kid's good. That's sort of similar to me. There's not a timestamp on it. Do you know what I mean? I'm young. I'm 24. Like, I was, first time I stepped in the gym was 19 years old, almost 20. You know, I've been training. It'll be 5 years in the end of May.
And I think, mate, that's a sign of a good bodybuilder, is that you're not dictated by, as you say, timestamps.
Yeah.
The problem is with a lot of bodybuilding right now, and obviously the creation of these extra divisions, is that people can't wait that long.
Yeah.
People are on the timeline, and they're like, well, if it might take 12 years, I'm just not going to fucking bother. I'll do men's physique, and I can do it in one.
The thing is, like, why would you, for me, like, I want to be an open bodybuilder. Like, why would I want to go into a Two Bros Classic and try and get a pro card early and be a classic, when that's not what I want to do? Do you know what I mean? I don't want to do that. Plus, also, you're rushing it, aren't you? You're like, you're at that level. Now you've got to compete with those guys. Do you know what I mean? You ain't ready for it.
I don't see that.
That would be the end. That would be at the end of a lot of people. So they get a pro card. They're not really worthy of a pro card. And then what are you going to do?
That
happens all the time.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't think that's a fair kind of thing to say, though, to be honest. Like, to say, oh, I could just get a pro card in Classic and be done with it. I know plenty of people who are actually Classic and good Classic bodybuilders, like Ryan had on yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, Ryan.
I'm saying people were trying, like, they're not getting them. There's people who are trying, trying to just get, like, when they, you know, if their goals might be to be Classic, whatever. I'm trying to think of a good example of someone.
You can't give a good example because you can't dig them out on this show.
All right. But
I know what you mean. Like, people just doing Classic when just to try it. They're trying to turn pro, so they just do any class that they can to try and turn pro.
Like, several different types of classes in the Two Bros shows just to try and get a pro card. Like, I'd watch the live stream, it'd be the same guy who was in the last class. He's doing fucking men's.
Yeah, so he's done like a master's. He's done a, yeah.
They're like, why? What? Fair enough. If you're just like wild, you know, I'm going to try this bodybuilding thing out, and I'm going to try every single fucking class. Fair enough. But I don't know if that was his thoughts, you know?
Well, it's becoming a broken record, isn't it? It's like people are doing Classic just because they can make the weight class.
Yeah.
I don't even see why people are doing men's physique just because it's easy. There's a look for men's physique.
Mass with class. That's what we want. That's what I want to bring. But it's nothing better than seeing someone who's like, who's got a little bit of a few Classic lines, but 280, 270. Like, whoa. That's something good, isn't it?
That's subjective, though, isn't it, to what you...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm the same to you. For me, the epitome is Luke Sandow's physique.
Yeah, exactly the same.
Fucking mass. I mean, there's so many good physiques right now that I just look up to. Have you seen, Aceto's client, that Egyptian, Hassan Mustafa?
Yeah.
I love his physique.
He's only 24.
No.
He's not old at all.
He's only 25, isn't he?
Yeah, but this... The Hassan Mustafa is twice the size of being that Rafael Brandeo has blown up a bit, but
he doubled the size of him.
That Hassan is massive.
He's massive. There's nothing. I love it. So
but he still looks pleasing as well, doesn't he? So
yeah.
Anyone was sorry, I was going to say did for me and Dan. If anyone wanted like a proper answer, like a pinpoint answer, maybe we compete next. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, fucking hell. We've waffled, haven't we? All we had to say was dates done. That's it.
Yeah. But the thing is, you can't put a date on it. You can't put a date on it. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, yeah. I feel my full trust is in Jordan. He knows he's in control. He knows it.
How I've left Jordan, we don't even know if I'm still competing this year. I doubt it, but yeah. We've just said we'll see how we look.
Oh, mate, I've got no wool. Anyway.
Dan, all I'd say to you is there aren't many people in the UK that are going to be training the same as you at the moment. So whether that puts you at a reasonable advantage, you know, who knows?
I don't think when gyms are open, many people are training like we do anyway.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Like that. That's fucking sick. Is there any more questions anyone wants to bring up? Any good ones that we had?
Yeah, I wanted to do this one because it's a very simple question, actually. Waking up in the middle of the night, is it okay to drink half a litre of water to hydrate, like get some more hydration in for this morning session? I said, yeah.
Yeah, are they training early in the morning, are they?
Yeah, and they're already, when they get up in the morning, they already get water in before their pre-workout meal and hydrate between. I mean, as long as it's 15 minutes before your pre-workout meal and after, just your digestion.
Yeah.
I mean, hydration is key, especially if you're training in the morning. I think
when I wake up in the night for the toilet, I always drink as well.
Yeah, half a litre in the night, as long as it don't force you to get in for a pee. I mean, a half a litre in the night, yeah, great. I think it's fantastic. Get a litre in if it helps.
Yeah. If I wake up in the night, I always need a little bit of a drink. I always feel a bit like gammy.
I have a sip. I find I like waking up in the morning super dry, and I wake up, my legs all vascular. So
yeah, you were fucking.
I always do that when I diet as well. I always purposely don't drink because then I know even if I drink a little bit, it's gonna add to the scales that little bit. So I try and wake up as dry as I can on the scales.
I'm in the mindset of in the morning, you want to put yourself in a good mood straight away, and the first thing I want to see is like when I get up. Fucking veins all over my legs. Yes, today's gonna be a good day.
Fucking love that. Waking up. Yeah. That's one of the ones though. When you were some people can't like some people when they get pilled though they want to try and keep that shit. They can't let it go.
Yeah,
that's some of the biggest people's biggest downfall. Until you get.
Do you have any other like shorter questions on that?
This one would be a good one for you to answer actually because. I think you're a little bit an anomaly for most NAT lifters. You preach high protein and you also, you know, you don't fuck about when it comes to pushing up your body weight. So should natural lifters push body weight as hard as assisted lifters?
I think they almost need to more because, you know, assisted athletes can hover at a certain body weight and hormonally they might be able to get away with it a little bit better. You know, naturally you need to get... Because if I'd stayed round about the same... You know, I could have stayed at a low body fat for quite a while after my shows. But hormonally, I was in the gutter. So I had to... But granted, that's not really too much about pushing up. That's just getting healthy. I don't think it makes an awful difference, really, whether natural or enhanced, really, about pushing up. I think you will appear harder as an enhanced athlete, but that's more just like a look, really.
Literally, what you said, mate, I think... Physiology doesn't change.
It doesn't.
Push exactly as, forget natural or enhanced, push your body weight up, keep your body fat in check, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
And how that body fat looks on an assisted lifter and an unassisted would be different.
Yeah.
Just know that.
I think a common theme with a lot of the things I do is I don't differentiate between myself and an assisted athlete in a lot of the things I do, you know, because I want to try and look as assisted as possible whilst being a natural competitor, which is why I sort of push the higher proteins. You know, my volume's slightly higher than a normal natural would be. You know, I push body weight a little bit more, stuff like that. You know, I'm not here to... I don't want to look like a natural competitor, ultimately.
Yeah.
So why am I going to do stuff like that? You know, everyone says, oh, naturals don't need that much protein. Yeah, I don't want to look like a natural. I don't want to be a natural.
Do you feel like having that attitude, you've benefited from that, from other people?
I feel so, yeah.
No, you look it. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not limiting myself. I'm not saying, oh, I'm a natural, so I can only do this. I can only train to this. I have to leave this many reps. I don't think like that, because by thinking like that, you're already confining yourself down. So, it's called the Pygmalion effect. Get a bit of what would that be? That'd be philosophy.
Philosophy.
Yeah.
It's the ideology that a fish can only grow as big as its tank.
Exactly.
I get you. But I'm glad you put it like that way, to be honest. I mean exactly the same thought. If you want to be 300 pounds and you're 200 pounds, why would you eat like a 200 pound individual?
Yeah.
You want to be 300 pounds, you need to eat progressively. I say progressively, not straight away, but progressively get up to a portion size over the day that a 300 pound individual would eat.
Don't be a pussy and eat.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter if you're natural or if you're assisted. Stop being a fucking wet lettuce. Stop being a bitch. Fucking pick up your fork. Pick up your fucking spoon and eat, you fucking fanny hole.
I really like that question. That's a good
question. Yeah.
That was the meathead answer to what Jack said, right?
This one's good for Jack as well, because I know that's it. Cardio in the off season.
I think, obviously, I'm a big proponent of it. Firstly, there's so many reasons why. I think from a digestive standpoint, that's another thing, which may contribute to the fact that I never have digestive issues. Granted, my cardio is not that high, only 3 times 35 minutes a week. People seem to like have an idea that I do it every day when I don't. I think it has plenty of digestive benefits. Obviously, heart health being one of them as well. Also, like, I train quite high in like quite high rep ranges a lot of the time as well, so I always do like low reps, but then I also do quite a lot of high reps. I'd never be able to get those high rep sets if my cardiovascular wasn't good. So I think you're shortchanging yourself a lot. Like recently, I just put one of my clients, I thought one of my clients was doing cardio in his off season. He told me he wasn't. I've instantly got him doing 2 lots of half an hour a week. And already he's telling me, oh, it's made such a difference. I can do the high rep sets that I could never do before. And think about it. If you're gassing out before you're hitting those key reps because your fitness has got the better of you, you're missing out on the growth for that set. So I think all those things. So digestion, heart health, cardiovascular fitness, so for the high rep sets. And also just like feeling good about yourself and just feeling healthy, like it does help a lot. It helps me like mindset as well, like getting a good routine in the morning. I feel pretty good after it as well. So I think those are like the 4 main reasons.
Yeah. Jordan is not a proponent of cardio in the off season for it's for some individuals who really need it, but not for myself and not for Josh either.
Yeah.
If you are really trying to push your body weight up, then I would sort of like drop it down. I don't struggle to put body weight on whilst having cardio in. I mean, so.
No, but what I do, so on a rest day, my steps are 8K. Training is 6K. So on a training day, I don't do any really any extra steps. Whatever I do in the day, it just happens without me thinking. On a rest day, I generally need to go to the shops. I need to do a little bit more walking, you know, tidy up and hoover up the house and little things like that to get it done. So what I do now, I do a 25-minute brisk walk first thing in the morning, and that's my cardio. But I count it as my steps. So me, Jordan tells me not to do cardio, but it's my little loophole of getting my steps in before my first meal. And I find that just like helps my mind, get me ready for the day, and keeps up some level of cardiovascular fitness. Now, some people say, well, that's not cardiovascular fitness, but I'm blowing out my ass. I'm heavy. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm a bit with you, like with you, Dan. I mean, I'm, you know, follow with Jordan's philosophy. So I believe it's only needed when you are fucking heavy. Do you know what I mean? For those sort of health benefits. But yet again, like, you know, going out, doing it, if food is high, walking around your food, I can see that being a benefit. You know what I say? If neat level steps have been put to 8K, you might have to get a fucking walk in the morning if you're just working, if you're at home. You know, for me, my steps are 8,000, like every day. So I have to just, I will have to do some walking, just if that's around, you know, do the cleaning twice. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those little things.
No, I like cardio as long as it doesn't impact your physique. So with mine, I can't do too much because my legs wither away. My legs are so much fuller when I'm stationary. That's why I count my morning walk as my steps. So it's something I've got to do anyway and my body's used to. When I start overdoing my steps, my legs just look shit. I look shit in general. So, yeah.
Yeah, sweet. Any more questions before we end?
I haven't got any more, mate, to be honest. I'm just looking through now. One sec.
I had a couple, but I'm just going to voice matches them because I can already feel my head going light because I need food. So,
yeah, meal time in.
We'll let you get on then, mate. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on, mate. Thank you for coming on.
It's been an honour. Thank you.
No, I know you're training during this COVID-19. Don't want to rub it in too many people's faces, I think.
No, I think me and Josh were talking about it before. Before you came on, no one's trying to rub anything in. And for,
have you got a lot of backlash for people seeing your training?
No, I haven't. And anything I have got certainly hasn't been to my face, that's for sure. So, but what people need to realize is you don't get away with anything on social media. Yeah. If you have a pop at someone in a comment section, or this isn't even on a comment section on your page. If you have a dig at someone on someone else's comment section, even if you say something or write a comment on an Insta live, anything like that, some rat will screenshot it and send it to me. You know, out of my 15,000, 16,000 followers, even though they don't all like me, a lot of them do. So a lot of them will rat you out if you're putting in a little sly dig here and there. So I've had a couple of pops, but nothing really. It'll just make it more sweet when I beat them in 21 ultimately. So
people have said to me, like, I'm videoing as if I would anyway. Like, some
it's no different for you, is it? You know,
nothing's changed for me or anything like that. So it's not like I weren't doing it before, but I'm doing it now because it's COVID-19. It's because I genuinely asked my followers. I said, "Do you want me to video?" Because everyone knows I've got a facility. Do you want to see my content still or not? I don't mind. And literally, no one came back to me and said no. Everyone said no. This shit motivates me.
Yeah. Funny enough, Dan. Someone had a pop at you to someone I know, saying, "Oh, nice to see him abiding by the rules of whatever. And this lad stood up for you and said, funny enough, it's his gym, mate, so shut up. because he obviously didn't know. But
it's not, he didn't know, did he? But you know, still, I mean, he didn't know. He's not so his bow, but I think interesting as well because aside from a leg press, I don't think I've posted a video where I'm not using a barbell.
No so fluffy stuff.
It's literally if you've got enough weight, which
everything you've done, you could be doing at home anyway.
Yeah, I mean, don't say, well, we haven't got enough weight because I don't see you motherfuckers pulling seven plates aside.
They couldn't do it anyway, so why do
you? Right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. No. Cheers, Jack, for coming on.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Everyone listening, if you give it a like, go subscribe, give us a little cheeky comment, and just keep it massive.
Just a cheeky one.
Just a cheeky comment. Just a cheeky.